Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW Community Radio. I am here today with Beth Walden. How are you, Beth?
I am doing well.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So you recently moved to Brookings.
Yes, I moved in the late, about 10:30 at night on July 15th.
Oh, wow. What brought you here?
Well, primarily the ocean. But then there was the concept that when adolescents move to young adulthood, they move away from home. And I was moving from adulthood into eldering and decided to move away from home. And this seemed like the perfect place to spend the next 30, 40 years of my career life.
Absolutely. And you've become very active in the community since you got here.
As much as I can at this point.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about all the things you're volunteering with a lot of stuff?
Right. I think it was about 2 days after I got here that this community activist named Scott Clapson sent me an invitation to run the front desk at one lunch a week at the Checo Activity Center. And he was so persuasive I couldn't say no. And I decided as well it would be a great way to meet people of all walks of life who have some maturity and wisdom behind them and be able to pick their brains. So I said yes.
He's pretty persuasive.
He can be, yes. I also had spent 3.5 years in Logan, Utah as a hospice volunteer and knew I wanted to do that as well. So I contacted them within about a week and a half of getting here. And I'm now up to 2 clients and thoroughly enjoying that.
Oh, wow.
And let's see, I also knew I wanted to do CERT training. Let's see, community emergency response team training. I'd wanted to do that in Utah, but didn't have the opportunity. And then I found out, oh, that's in September already. So I spent 3 Saturdays of 7 hours each getting my CERT training under my belt. And during that time, I realized, too, that I wanted to be in the emergency communications branch. So I'm now studying for my HAM license. And it looks like I'm already going to be stationed at the same St. Tim's radio room.
What do you know?
Yeah, what do you know?
You happen to go to church there currently, yes.
About every other week.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just jumped right in.
I might as well. I'd already planned on it. I've been actually watching the webcams of the beach for about 5 years. I just accidentally missed being able to see the tsunami when it came in. Somebody had called me off to their office, but I got back in time to see the water receding across the road. And then about 2 years ago, I knew I was coming up on the where am I going to move to next after 30 years in Utah. And I was watching the webcam and said, why don't I move there? Okay, now what else do I need to know about Brookings, Oregon? So I started researching everything, joined Facebook groups because that's where people really talk exactly what they're thinking, and subscribed to the newspaper for a year and having it mailed to me. So I was pretty well feet on the ground. In fact, I had a friend say to me about a year ago, you know, half of you is already living there. I said, yes, you're right.
So, the activist half.
Well, the research half, the knowing what the weather was doing, right. Et cetera, half, yeah.
Yeah. You just mentioned research, and you were in Utah for a while.
Right.
Do you want to share with our listeners what you were doing there?
Well, when I first started there, I had a bachelor's degree, and I was out weeding the garden one day and said, you know, I think grad school would be easier than this. So I went back and got a master's in instructional technology and realized that I kind of like school. So I went on and got a PhD in research and evaluation methodology in education. And while I was doing that career, well, my dissertation had to do with looking at non-traditional kinds of students, those who are doing distance education, and those who still aren't quite sure what they want to do and realize that, you know, I think I'd really rather be more of service. So I took a cut in pay of about half and decided to go get some more credentials and be an academic advisor, which was incredibly delightful. I knew at the time that it would dramatically affect my retirement skill, my retirement financial standing, and yes, indeed, it definitely has. But I do not regret that decision one bit because it really started to fill my soul with being of service to other human beings who can use someone with some expertise to help them out when they're at a loss for what to do.
You've certainly helped me.
Oh, thanks, Scott. And then 13 years after that, I said, you know, I don't think I'm done. I have a new hobby of collecting degrees. So I went back and got a second bachelor's in religious studies.
Okay.
And I was also the lay minister for about 6 years at the Cache Valley Unitarian Universalist Church.
Okay. And you did a lot of interfaith work.
I did. After I had gotten, well, actually during my getting my degree, I put a bug in one of my professor's ears who was a dear friend, and we began an interfaith initiative on Utah State University's campus of making it possible for people to feel free to talk about faith without needing to feel defensive or proselytizing, including training faculty and staff on how to respond to students who are having a crisis of faith without trying to fix them, but at least be able to have an ear to be able to listen to them. So I worked for her for free for, about 8 months as we got that off the ground. And I was also a chair of the local interfaith group in Cache County.
So that's interesting. Working with people who are having a crisis of faith without trying to fix them. Could you explain that?
Well, it's real easy if someone comes to you and says, I'm really having questions about whether or not this thing that I've been taught all my life is true. It is so easy for some people to say, well, I've got a path that would suit you, rather than just saying, tell me what it is about that is bothering you. Who are you speaking to about it? How are your friends reacting to this? Letting them talk and being able to share within their own head what they're thinking to themselves, and being willing to listen, and the student then knows that you're not going to try and talk them into what it is you are.
Sounds pretty valuable to me.
I think it was. There are a lot of students now involved in an interfaith club of all walks of life, and we brought in Eboo Patel, who started the Student Interfaith Coalition, or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it's a nationwide program for training interfaith leaders in public institutions of higher learning. We managed to bring him in to speak in our big auditorium. We had about 3,000 people there.
Wow, that's really cool.
It was fun.
Yeah. And in my conversations with you, I found out you're very interested in interfaith work here in the Brookings Harbor area, correct?
I see some of it already starting. In fact, that was one of the things that also attracted me to Brookings, specifically the community kitchens. When I came, there were something like 5 different denominations providing lunch for people who are less fortunate, as well as the community, 7 days a week. And I actually go to the community kitchen on Tuesdays. They have a donation box, which means you can pay what your meal would normally cost you downtown. And if you can't pay, you're still going to get fed. But the thing I like is the authenticity and the energy in that room. Long tables with people from former professors to people who don't know where they're going to spend the night, sitting next to each other and becoming acquainted. And it is just so authentic and so, it is faith-based in a sense, that it is what human beings should be doing with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see more faith paths working on projects together to increase the experiences and benefit the humanity that is here in Brookings.
Yes, that's pretty powerful. And the Community Kitchen Network is a great example of
It is a great example of that.
So you've gotten involved really quick, right?
Right.
It didn't take you long to figure out where Beth wanted to volunteer at.
It didn't take too long for Beth to get too busy like everybody told me I would before I left Utah, yes.
And thank you for allowing me to be one of those people that recruited you to volunteer. And it seems like they're all three very different, right? Volunteering at the Activity Center, the Checo Activity
right.
Center, doing the lunch check-in desk, volunteering with hospice,
right.
And volunteering with the CERT communications team.
Right.
Those are three very different volunteer things.
Right.
How do you find the time?
I keep my Google Calendar both on my smartphone and my computer.
Yeah.
And try not to let them conflict, but how do I find the time? I have to take the time. If I don't take the time, I don't feel sane. Because if I'm not getting out into the community, I tend to stare at my navel, and that really causes a crick in my neck and also causes a crick in my attitude, and I get too self-absorbed, and I know I get just a little bit insane and too self-focused. So as long as I'm going to be out in the community, I might as well be of use. And quite frankly, being of service fills me. I originally started working at hospice in Logan when I had a very tough semester. Both academically, I'd had a tough class. Actually, it was a class called Religion, Evil, and Human Suffering. And we had to do a project, and one of the other teams had done one volunteering with hospice. I'd also found out something about my father that was not very pleasant, and I was overworking myself and having a really bad time, and remembered something that I knew from my younger adulthood, which is when you're being of service, you don't have time or the energy for your own internal problems. So that's when I went and volunteered for hospice. And it was absolutely accurate. I can remember sitting with a woman who was not actually present about 40 miles from my house, no one else around for about 5 miles, thinking, what am I doing? I couldn't answer that, but I did know that I felt sane, I felt useful, I felt grounded, and I felt very, very spiritual in that moment. So volunteering, especially in a service way, fills my soul and keeps me from too much internal criticism and dialogue and judgmentalism and etc. It keeps me in joy.
Mm-hmm. It's ironically, Beth, my friend, one of the reasons why I do the work that I do as well. My dad told me that quite a few years ago, and he said, you know, why don't you go out and get involved more, right? You like to be involved, you like to help people, so why don't you make a conscious effort to do more of it? And here I am at 41, kind of along the same path that you are. Everyone asks me, where do you find the time? And it really feeds my spirit, right? It helps me, and it helps keep me out of my own head, like you said,
right?
And keeps me from getting caught up in my own problems,
right,
and my own situation, because those, mm-hmm, are still going to be there, right?
Oh yeah,
those are still going to be there, and I'll still figure out ways to deal with them, but it keeps me from dwelling on them and spending all my time sort of obsessing about them.
Exactly.
And worrying oftentimes about things that never actually are going to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. When you're volunteering, you know exactly what is happening.
Yes.
And you know where the problems are, and you feel like you can do something about them, rather than just fussing that the problems are there and there's nothing that can be done.
Yes. It's great to be a part of the solution.
Right.
I am Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I am here today with Beth Walden, a newcomer to the Brookings Harbor area, who has, as she shared, been investigating Brookings for quite a while.
Right.
So we appreciate that you moved here. And if you are enjoying this programming about volunteers in our community, we encourage you to donate to KCIW. We are a nonprofit, and your donations are appreciated. So, Beth.
Yes.
Now that you've been here for not quite 6 months, and you're involved with three different things.
Right.
What do you see as the next step for yourself? Like, is there anything else that you've been looking at volunteering for that you would like to volunteer with? Or,
well, when I came, I knew that I could support myself frugally, quite frugally, without having to get employment. I may, however, be open to employment, and I'm looking specifically at a potential one-off kinds of opportunities. I don't want to divulge that just yet because I've begun to explore them, but wouldn't take all my time, but would help, that kind of thing too. Someone else also mentioned that the high school is looking for adults to help mentor those students who may or may not decide to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I may check into that. I do have that background in education, so there's always that possibility. So I don't know yet, because all the little possibilities keep popping up. I didn't think CERT was going to be a possibility, and I certainly had not planned on getting a ham license.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that that's going to be time-consuming, too, as much as I'm addicted to the Internet. I'm a little afraid that I'm going to become a little addicted to a little handheld radio, too, where I can talk to people all over the place. We shall see. But at this point, I'm still trying to get unpacked, for crying out loud. That's what happens when you hit the ground running. You're always running out the door and tripping over the box. And so that's one thing I need to do, is finish getting unpacked and seeing what pops up next and just get myself settled in. One thing I do is make sure I get to the beach every single day, because that's another thing that feeds my soul.
Self-care.
Absolutely. You've got to take care of self-care. And volunteering and service is one of my forms of self-care.
Do you want to tell us about why that's a form of self-care?
Well, because I end up feeling useful, like I belong here on the planet. If I just came over and had no plans to do anything other than walk on the beach, which is not a bad thing, or go shopping, or take classes, or do things for myself only, I know myself, and I know I would start wondering about my usefulness and my place in the world. But there is a Quechua phrase from South America called Aini, A-Y-N-I, and it means sacred reciprocity. Today for me, tomorrow for you. And things need to be in balance. And in order for me to be in balance, I need to make sure that my time and my usefulness and my greed are in balance.
Say that one more time.
How far back?
The definition of the term the idea.
Yeah. Sacred reciprocity.
I like that.
Need on this planet for everyone to give and to receive. There are also people who have difficulty receiving as well as giving. And I know I'm very good at getting and giving for myself. And we talk in the country about people getting and getting and greedy. But sacred reciprocity requires that you give back to your community, give back to your planet, give back to your fellow creatures, including humans. And it keeps things in balance, and I know that it keeps my own soul in balance. Although sometimes I have a little trouble with receiving.
Yeah, I think those of us who are givers do.
Right.
Right, we tend to give and give and give and give and give. And sometimes we forget that part of the giving is also being willing to be given to.
Right on, because that allows other people to be giving as well.
Right, and we forget that because we're so busy giving to everyone all the time, right?
Exactly.
It's part of how Beth and I became friends, for our listeners, is Beth found me on Facebook, and we just bonded over this
right.
natural proclivity to give to each other.
I had friends here before I even got here.
Yes, that's right. A great thing. I definitely consider you a friend. So, Beth, you have some plans to do some interfaith work coming up here in the Brookings Harbor area in the coming year, correct?
I'm hoping to. One of the advantages of Scott Clapson is if you put a bug in his ear, he will often facilitate what it is your dream is. And he knew that I was interested in interfaith work, and he has connections here at KCIW. And he's busy putting together podcasts, which, by the way, for those of you who he asks, do it. It's a blast. But we've talked about, too, putting together a series of podcasts with a variety of the faith leaders here locally to talk about what it is they're doing, what it is they believe, where their hearts and souls are. And I think that might be a good way of introducing the communities of faith to one another, for sure. I know some of them work together too, but it's always nice when you can know that the person who is sitting next to you cleaning up litter on the beach has a different faith, but their caring heart is in the same place as yours. And when I was on the interfaith committee in Logan, we did all sorts of things together, including concerts, special speakers, bringing them in. We helped a lot with the funding for the local food pantry there. There are a lot of things that those people whose heart is based on their faith can do together. That is not to say that those who don't have a faith also don't have a heart. But those who have a faith sometimes need to be reminded that other faiths have as big a heart as they do. And working together, being of service together, is a great way to share the beliefs that they have in common and the hopes and prayers and dreams that they have in common.
In common. I love that. Because, right, we all of us that are people of faith, we all have that in common.
Right.
Right.
One of the Unitarian martyrs has a phrase that we quote a lot, and that is, you do not need to think alike to love alike.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes.
You do not need to think alike to love alike.
To love alike.
And everyone's deserving of love.
And there's a lot of love that's needed around the world, right down to Sport Haven Beach, all the way down, in all facets of life. Love is just one of the things that greases the skids between human beings. And that's one of the kind of mottos I've taken lately, is my job is to grease the skids. Mm-hmm. Not the skids are always going downhill like Skid Row. Mm-hmm. Skids get you moved from one place to another. Mm-hmm. And they require lubricating.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my jobs is to grease the skids so that other things can move. And one of the simplest ways that people can volunteer, smile at somebody in Fred Meyer.
You mean you don't have to sign up with a nonprofit? You can just start volunteering on your own?
You can just start volunteering on your own. Pick up a piece of trash off the beach. I've seen a woman out there a couple of times now with a plastic bag, picking up the trash and putting it in the container, and she's just out walking her dog and figures, I'll clean up the beach at the same time.
I've met that lady.
Have you really?
Yes, I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a few of them that walk their dogs
right.
And do that, and I've done litter pickups here on the beaches, sometimes just for fun because I'm weird like that and different.
Right.
But I've met them, and I've actually talked to about two or three. They're all women usually, ironically. But yeah, they do. They walk their dog or they just walk down the beach and they have a little like grocery outlet bag or Fred Meyer bag, and they just put things in there and they drop it in the trash can when they're done with their beach walk.
And so easy, and you're going there anyway. So why not fill your own soul? Fill the bag, fill your soul.
It's a great litter pickup model, actually. That's another way that Beth and I bonded, was our passion for cleaning up the local beaches. This is pretty exciting. I'm learning a lot from you right now that, you know, I've been meeting with some of my podcast participants ahead of time.
Right.
Recently, because we're now getting into people that I don't know as well.
Uh-huh.
Right. My first 20-something podcasts were all people that I was familiar with.
Right.
And you and I are newer friends, right?
Right.
And so this is really cool. I have a quote I just recently learned. Rumi, I think is how you say the person's name.
Right.
Love is the bridge between you and everything.
That's and so true.
I love that because I think it's easy to forget that. It's easy to think that, you know, we're somehow different, whether we go to a different church or we have a different faith or we volunteer with a different nonprofit or we live in a different community or our skin color is different or whatever the situation is. And it's really important to remember that that smile or that hug or just that kind, loving spirit and word can go a long way between bridging a distance between people, right? And make us realize that we're a lot more alike than we thought we were.
It's also spiritual nutrition for both souls. It's one of the things that if you give it away, in fact, I've heard that if you give it away, you don't have any less. But I'm a firm believer that if you give it away, you have even more.
Really?
Yep.
How so?
It's easier to love yourself if you're busy loving others, for one thing. Second, when I'm out in public and I smile at somebody, it's surprising how many times their face lights up and they smile back. When you smile at someone on the street or in a shopping center, even the post office these days, it's surprising how often their face relaxes and they smile back at you. Again, we've got that sacred reciprocity going on. I smile at you, you smile back. It doesn't always work. But what's funny is I sometimes take that as a challenge and smile better. But usually I just kind of chuckle to myself of, it'll kick in later.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, when you give love, it increases the love inside you.
Mm-hmm. And I've found in my own life with sometimes people that are maybe difficult to reach.
Right.
That the more patient that I can be and the more that I can understand that they're just mirroring my own journey.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yep. the more that I can keep on smiling at them or keep on saying hello.
Right.
Even if they don't answer.
Right.
And acknowledge that that's part of why I'm here.
Right.
Right. That I've realized at this point in my life to be that light to people. Instead of just keeping it to myself, like we talked about earlier in the podcast, that
right.
it's makes me feel better and right. it makes me a better person to give it away.
And it just dawned on me that if you withhold love, it's going to get stagnant inside yourself. You need to keep that flow going.
That's a good point. So Beth, as we come to the end of the podcast, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners that maybe we haven't covered or upcoming things for Beth Walden in her sacred reciprocity journey in Brookings Harbor?
Well, I'm interested in any people's feedback of an interfaith nature, but also I guess what I most want to say is the spirits of a whole community are lifted when the people in that community care about the souls, hearts, bodies, minds of everyone else in that community. It just lifts the whole environment, not just those that are receiving or those that are giving. And I do know, for a fact, I've seen it happen over and over again, that if you are of service, your life will get better. And there are lots of volunteer opportunities here in Brookings Harbor, Oregon.
Yes, there is a plethora. Every time I turn around, someone else, as I'm sure has happened to you as Scott Clapson, the community organizer, came to you right after you moved here and asked you to volunteer
right.
at the Chetco Activity Center. Because I'm always approached being asked to participate in new things. And so I can relate to that there's lots and lots of opportunities. And the more of us that get involved and the more of us that are of service in this area, the more supported that faith groups or nonprofits or just people smiling
right.
at each other will feel that and feel a little bit lighter of a burden, right?
Right.
Because many hands make lighter work.
Right.
I learned that from the Rotary group here. They like to say that a lot because they do a lot of service and I participated with them for a while too mm-hmm. until I found that, you know, we all have limitations on our time and can't do everything.
Right.
And so, as you have done,
but I want to.
Yes, I do. I want to do everything, actually. If you're listening and you have something that Scott can volunteer with, Scott really wants to help because I do, right?
Right.
It makes me feel better. It makes me feel better inside. It makes me a better person.
Right.
To be of service. I'm so happy I met you, Beth.
I am so happy I met you, too. It was kind of fun.
I am very happy that you sat down with me today and I look forward to many, many more people like you being drawn to Brookings. There's a lot that is arriving all the time. I meet them a lot because of my work in this community.
Right.
And I appreciate you. And I appreciate all you do, not only at the Chetco Activity Center, but with all the other groups that you're a part of. It's really awesome to watch and just see how much you care about your
absolutely.
New home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we both love the beach.
Oh, yeah. Love the beach.
Love the ocean. I am Scott Clapson, the community organizer. I've been here today with Beth Walden. Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome. This has been a blast.
Awesome. Thank you. We thank you for listening to KCIW. If you enjoy this programming, please donate. We are a nonprofit and we do appreciate your donations. Thank you so much and have a great day.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.